Welcome to the 35th episode of Charlie and Me. If you are not our friends and family, we do not know why you're listening, but thank you. If you are our friends and family, we got a really spooky, not scary episode for you. I don't like scary things, so let's spook it out. So happy Halloween, I guess?
Almost Halloween.
Yeah, it's Beggar's Night in Iowa. If you're not from Iowa. You don't know what Beggar's Night is? We're going to shout out to Mary Jones in a second. You don't know what Beggar's Night is? Beggar's Night is when we get candy in Iowa.
Trick or treat.
Not that Halloween day.
Give me something good to eat.
Halloween's for parties. Anyway, Mary Jones, shout out.
Happy birthday tomorrow.
Happy birthday, Mary Jones, tomorrow. Probably when everyone's listening to this, it's Mary Jones' birthday. Congratulations. Happy 21st.
You did it.
What'd you do this last weekend, Chuck?
Great question. Caught up with some friends, went to dinner.
Congrats.
It was a big dinner.
Congrats on friends, I meant, but.
Yeah, congrats on friends. It was another one of those weekends where, took care of a lot of small stuff, went to the DMV, didn't actually work out, but I went to the DMV.
Yeah, but you did it, so congrats on that. That's a big deal. That sucks.
Yeah.
I hate
the DMV. Let me tell you, the DMV just, they don't do anything easy for you. They don't make it easy for you. It's like, I hate to have, like, stereotype them, but their stereotype is so true. Of, like, it's the worst. It's the worst. It's so true.
There's nothing wrong about their stereotype. Like, certainly. Because every time you go, the service is terrible. The person you're sitting next to smells. And you never get done what you want to get done.
And there's that little kid running around.
Oh. Can't even drive, kid. Why the hell are you here?
Yeah, right.
Why'd they leave you in the car, huh?
Just crack the window.
Yeah. He's got his favorite music on, and the air conditioning's on. He's fine.
Yeah. What about you, Grant? Anything fun?
I went to one costume party. I helped a friend move. I went to a costume party.
Big muscles.
Yeah, I moved like three things.
Never liked the runner to help you move.
Everyone's always asking me to help them do things. It's like, guys, I don't have those big of muscles. Those type of muscles, I should say, maybe.
Both. Those type or big of muscles?
Yeah, whatever. Either way, I'm comfortable. They had a Halloween costume in the friend who's just moved in the apartment, and we got a little noise complaint. That was kind of cool.
What did you go as?
I went as Michael Cera from Juno.
Original.
That's one thing about being a cross country runner. Every time you go to be something, and then you also have curly hair, everyone just deems you Michael Cera.
It's the short shorts.
Yeah, at least you know. I don't know. I'm not gonna go down that path. that was fun. Other than that, not a whole bunch. Just kind of hung out, rested up, tried to watch as much as possible of that 18 inning baseball game.
Friday. The seventh inning. I lost interest in postseason baseball.
And then I told myself on Sunday night that I was gonna like stay up and watch the end, and I literally fell asleep on the couch and just woke up to the last pitch, and I was like, well, that was kind of a waste of my time.
I turned off in the fourth inning. I was like, I just don't like these two teams.
I'm a Red Sox fan. That's the thing. I'm a Red Sox fan, and I still just couldn't even do it.
Two of my least favorite teams. I was like, I just don't care.
Yeah, it was kind of just a bad season altogether. I mean, a bad series, not season. Guess season maybe too, but.
I mean, the Red Sox were just so good. So props to them. They're just so good.
Oh, it was their year to lose. So it was like, it was obvious they were going
to
win.
They were just so good that like, it was going to take something crazy for them to lose. And it took a, 18-inning game for them to lose one game.
I would say, I would love to see like a four-man, like eight, or four-on-four game versus like with Javier Baez, Mookie Betts, Francisco Lindor. Then you got to get some other guys in there too. Machado would probably be in there because he's crazy. Yelich would be in there.
Yeah.
Machado would be in there. He'd be the one that like everyone hated the whole time.
He'd be the one that no one likes.
Like, no one really invited him, but he showed up for the game.
People would be cheering for him to get ejected from the game.
Yeah, in a Sandlot game. That'd be even better. Yelich should be in there. There's got to be more players, but those are just the fun guys who like to watch play games. So that's why, like, Mookie Betts is just fun to watch. I don't care who you are.
No, yeah, he makes those guys are the guys who make the game exciting. So it's those guys that draw me in for a little bit. But then you know, there's just not enough of it.
And they get like the Kershaw's pitching. Mm. And yeah, I'm not a big Kershaw fan, but he's a good pitcher all around. He's fun to watch.
I don't like him because he plays for the Dodgers, and the Cubs have had so many run-ins with him lately that I just, you know, shy away from it. But, I mean, he is the best pitcher of our generation.
By far.
Yeah.
By far. But I digress. That was my weekend. I didn't do a whole bunch. It was fun. We have a good podium, though. A little spooky podium.
It's going to get interesting. I want to see where you take this.
I'm not sure where I'm going to take it either, but
so,
we got a podium of Halloween costumes. I got heads.
It's heads. You go first.
I go first. I saw this one online. It's a little controversial, but it looked pretty funny, and it was an old man doing it, so it's like, fine, you can get away with it. You're old. It's great. But it was a guy in a judge thing. He was wearing a judge
robe.
Yeah, there you go, robe. I couldn't figure it out. I was going to say dress, but that's not right. And then he had a beer hat on, and he was just Kavanaugh. He was just Brett Kavanaugh.
Oh, man.
The guy likes beer.
Yeah, it's kind of refreshing. Like
you got to make fun of it. You don't laugh, you'll cry,
it's
right?
It's the social relevancy that, like...
Yeah, it was great. I thought it was timing, spectacular, old man 10 of 10. Love it.
See, I was going to... I think it's in a way different direction than you. I got, like, a little more...
Ooh, nice.
Classical broad for you.
Ooh, broad or broads or what?
No, broad, very like spectrum.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm a sucker for a well-done vampire.
Ooh.
Well-done vampire. It's just classic. It's the classic.
Kind of like a sexy vampire or like a little...
Just a classic vampire.
What are those movies? Twilight? Little Twilight?
See, that's not classic.
It's become more and more. Our kids will think that Twilight's classic. Think about that.
I don't have kids, so I don't have that problem. Yet. But
I don't either. I don't think.
But like young Frankenstein era classic vampire.
Yeah. Oh, I do like that. Oh, that gives me a good one.
Yeah, like that's kind of runs into the stream of them.
Literally, like Frankenstein from Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, like that's the
that would be an absolute classic Halloween. The only thing is, I don't like painting my face.
Yeah, you get over it.
Yeah, probably. Alright, that was my second one.
That was my second one, too. Kind of the tag. Like, when I think of Halloween, I think Young Frankenstein. It just goes hand in hand.
That's a quality film.
The other one, kind of the cheesy, easy one that I always love, is just putting a sheet over your head and calling yourself a ghost.
That's a classic. It's an absolute classic.
Like, it doesn't take too much work, and everyone appreciates it enough to where it's like, there you go.
It's most like everyone appreciates that you just ruined a bed sheet.
Yeah. Like, that's 40, 50 bucks, potentially.
Potentially. I mean, but hopefully not doing it with a nice one. But
not me. You do you.
I'll do a little shout-out here to my boy Tate. He did the classic everyone knew was going to happen. Every basic white male was gonna do it, but he still did it. The little pump box from the Kanye video. It was well done. I'll put it like that. I respect it. The little pump outfit. It was funny. It was timely.
It turned out better than I could have created. So props.
Yeah, it was something else. So yeah. I'll give a little shout out to that one. I'll make that my third on the podium. A little bronze medal.
Oh man, what am I gonna go with here? My third, crap. This is tough. Okay, my third is just going to be the little kid who dresses up as a sports hero, mainly because that was me, like, all the time.
This is sports hero? I love it.
Sports hero. Doesn't take too much creativity, but, like, you know that kid for that little bit, like, he thinks he's an MLB player, a football player.
That's good, but I never had the opportunity, so lots of times growing up, since I had a twin sister, you know, we'd be dressed in pairs. So like one time was it Andy? I can't even remember the Toy Story characters, you kidding me? I was Woody.
I was gonna say Andy's the kid.
I was Woody. And then she was like Raggedy Ann doll, so we like kind of matched, it was kind of cute.
No, she was Jessie, probably.
Yeah, that was it. God damn it, I can't remember any of this shit right now. That's embarrassing. But So we had a lot of those kind of costumes. It was, you know, it was adorable. You know, back in the day when your mom would dress you, it was great.
I had
one time, Charlie, probably the most ballsy costume I've ever worn in public before I started wearing short shorts for running.
Your football costume?
A ballerina. So I was half baseball player, half ballerina. And it was straight down the middle. If there's a picture of this, and I don't know where it is, I'm sure it's out there somewhere, I'll never be able to run for public office.
So you're not going to run for public
office? It was like 6th or 7th grade. And I, you know, it was like when you're getting towards the end of trick-or-treating. So I was, it was.
At that point, it becomes more of like a scam. How many houses can I hit?
Yeah, exactly. I was built for speed that day.
I used to get two costumes.
You did? Wow, you're a badass.
One, you had to like wear a mask.
Yeah, I never did that. I never scammed my neighborhood.
Your neighborhood would be the neighborhood to scam too. I used to go to your neighborhood too, trick-or-treat.
I know. But yeah, that was the most ballsy costume I ever wore. So I'm just going to give myself an honorable mention on the podium there for the ballerina. Anyone finds that pick, go ahead and let us know.
Like the good, like combo costumes are always, if they're done right, done well, very high up on my list.
I literally had a baseball cap that was half a wig and half a baseball cap.
See, like I'm never like creative enough to like, or had the patience to like actually create like a custom costume like that. So props.
It was great. I had a lot of help, a lot of assistance from my mother, and I still do to this day. So it's great.
Thanks, Jody.
All right, let's pop this interview. We got a good short interview. It's gonna highlight a lot of baseball postseason, and then we'll go back to some spooky shit. All right, now we welcome on a good friend of Charlie and myself's, a former teammate, and
previous guest,
reoccurring guest, if you would say. Would you say are you like an assistant strength coach? What are you for the Milwaukee Brewers?
Well, I was. It was an internship position, so going in was known it was just going to be a season long position with, you know, the ability to meet a lot of people, learn a lot of things, and hopefully down the road be considered. But yeah, just for this year. So unfortunately, the position's over. Which, if you don't know by now, it was a strength and conditioning position for the Milwaukee Brewers. Woo. So we had a good season.
We'll allow that on the podcast, even though we're big Cubs fans. Yeah. We still love to see you. Charlie said he saw you a couple times on TV.
Yeah. Yeah. Did your DMs just blow up after you were on TV on national TV during the playoffs?
I wasn't on TV during the playoffs, but I was in the dugout for a couple of games towards the end of the season. They wanted me to experience it, and I was like, well, duh, yeah, I'll go in there and hang.
Let me think about it. Yeah, I'm in.
Okay. That sounds. Yeah, let's do it.
There's actually I got sent. I think I don't know who rewound and like how they do that with TV now. You rewind it and when recorded. Curtis Granderson was coming to the dugout, so now I'm me and Curtis Granderson are forever entwined. I don't know, I'll always bring him up, or I have a video of us two on TV. So it's
You got to send me a picture of that.
That's hell of a 1-2 combo right there, just Curtis and Doug.
I don't know who's a bigger unit.
What's that?
I'm not sure who's a bigger unit.
Yeah.
So what was the coolest part about working for the team in your season? I mean, obviously a fantastic entire season for the Brewers. That was fun to see. Definitely that second half was electric. But what was the most exciting part of the whole season for you?
Honestly, I just loved working with the players. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I went down to spring training. They invited me down there for 3 weeks, and I was a little nervous going down there, I'll be honest with you. I'm a 25-year-old kid just out of St. Thomas that no one really from around them knows about.
Right.
Like, why do these players that are making $5-20 million a year, why are they going to listen to me? But I was actually pleasantly surprised. It was the complete opposite. Like, they would come to me with questions, and they're always trying to get better. And, you know, they're professionals for a reason, but, you know, they use their resources. And, they saw me as a resource, which was really nice. And I felt really a part of the team. Like, I was in every team meeting. You know, every player knew me by name. Like, they would come to me. Like, it was just great to be a part of. And And I would say the players, I mean, getting to know them and how, you know, there's real people. Like, they go to the grocery store like all of us. Like, they have stupid stories like all of us. Like, it was really cool just to get to know that and see that side of professional sports. So
yeah, that's amazing. I think I know personally, half the time I don't think of professional athletes as real people. I just
no, they're robots. It's thinking.
Yeah, they're just like corporate drones. You know, like Charlie and I show up to an office and sit in a cubicle every day. When I'm in my office, I'm not a real person. I'm a drone. You know.
Yeah.
They're just drones on TV executing a plan for the big guy.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I mean, you don't think, like, stuff like going to the grocery store, like, sitting, they complain about sitting in traffic or they complain about bad service at a restaurant. It's like, we do that same, like, you didn't think they got, you know, that type of treatment sometimes, but they go through the same shit we do. So, that was, I mean, it's cool to see. And just, from a strength and conditioning standpoint, just to be able to see some of the, you know, the best athletes in the world, you know, do what they do, it's unbelievable. And I learned a lot, you know, that way, which I'm taking on to my future experiences, which is the whole reason why I took it. So, yeah, so it was just a win-win-win all the way around. I got a great experience, got to meet a lot of great people. We had a great season, and this is going to help me in my career. So win-win-win all the way. So it was awesome.
I love it.
Kind of going off that, what was, like, one of the most, like, jaw-dropping things you saw or, like, on, like, the athletic standpoint of, like, the players?
You don't have to drop any names. We know that Christian Yelich is obviously an animal. But
yeah.
Was one thing that you saw happen by, like, a freak of nature, like athlete, kind of what, a play or something that just, like, you're like, wow.
Well, I mean, as far as actual gameplay, I mean, you guys can kind of see that. I mean, there's nothing. I mean, when guys hit the ball so far, I will say though, some people don't see his batting practice. I mean,
yeah, it's kind of, yeah. I was hoping, like, do you see anything cool there? Fielding practice or batting practice where you're just like, what?
Yeah. And I was at every batting practice. So I got to see that pretty consistently, which was cool. But as far as, like, actual on play, I mean, you guys see, I mean, Orlando Arcia can make any play or, like, any sort of, you know, any guy, like Jesus hitting the ball 450 or Christian hitting the ball. Like, it's crazy. So, but as far as, like, you know, actually in the weight room, you know, we're in the middle of the season. So as far as the strength and conditioning was concerned, we didn't do too much as far as, you know, heavy lifting, which was, it's good and bad. I mean, it was good for me to see and experience how to, you know, handle such a big load, workload. But we didn't really do any crazy stuff that I can point to, unfortunately. I will say, shout out to one of the players I got closest with was the oldest player, Eric Kratz. Yeah. I don't know, if you were looking for a quick story, here's one for you. He caught 15 innings. We went into extra innings. We went 15 innings. We beat the Pirates, I want to say it was, and came in, you know, so that game, it was a night game, goes into about the, whatever, you know, 1 a.m. or something like that, close to it. I don't know, maybe it was midnight, whatever.
Same thing.
And the next day, he's probably the first person in the clubhouse, first player at least, and he legitimately lifted for an hour and a half straight. Like, he's 38 years old. Like, that's just kind of the work ethic that a lot of these players put in, and it's just crazy to see, you know, and be a part of. So
that's
just
awesome.
I'm a
big baseball guy, and Charlie loves baseball as well, but you don't hear a lot of those stories, and probably for good reason. But, you know, during the regular season, when you're watching baseball games, these guys are doing workouts like that, and you don't even think about it. You know, these guys are playing 3 hours of baseball and then turning around and, you know, have another 3 hours in the weight room or conditioning and, like, those kind of things. That's a crazy, crazy, like, workload to think about, just physically.
Yeah, it's nuts. I mean, a majority of the players are there for a 7 o'clock game, are there by 2 o'clock, you know, and they're doing everything from out with us to getting treatment to batting practice. And it's nuts how much effort they put in. You know, it's, you know, they get paid a lot, but honestly, they work a lot. So it shows they should get paid some, you know, some players get more than others, but, you know, they should get some, get them on. But, you know, that it was just cool to experience all that. So,
yeah.
All right. I kind of have a quick comparison for you. You know, we had the fine facilities at the athletic or the Anderson Athletic Center. One or two of the biggest differences between, like, the facilities we had as far as, like, running at school versus, like, what was available to the pros?
Well, I would say the thing that the pros have access to is they've got about 6 different types of doctors on staff. They've got, well, I was one of 3 people on the strength staff. They've got 4 athletic trainers to help with injury and injury prevention. So as far as resources, I think just personnel to help them get through the season was unbelievable. As far as actual physical things, I mean, we're literally at Miller Park doing workouts. Like, there's not that much space. Like, our weight room was not that big. Like, I mean, it did what we needed to do. There's nothing crazy really in there. So, like, as far as facilities go, I mean, we did have that probably wouldn't have at St. Thomas would have been one of those swim lap pools, you know, just like one person. It's got current going through it. We actually used that a lot, which was, you know, really cool to see how we incorporated, you know, workouts in there to take stress off of our joints and recover a little bit better. So that was cool. I would say that's a piece of equipment that didn't have it, that you wouldn't have seen, that you don't really see too many places because that is very expensive. But yeah, no, as far as, you know, actual physical facilities, it's a weight room that gets the job done. You know, you got dumbbells from 5 to 100 and, well, I guess 3 to 100 and, you know, a couple squat racks, some cardio equipment, and you get after it. So it's, you know, it's a small little area, but it gets the job done. So nothing special, but, you know, except for the people that run it, I would say. The people that run it are, I mean, you got the best doctors, the best trainers, and so that's why they're the best.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So if you're sitting there watching BP, do you ever, from like a strength perspective, say like, oh, this is something this guy might need to work on in the future? Watching him hit some BP, or, you know, seeing late in the game where these guys are losing certain things due to, I mean, obviously later in the season you don't see as much of it because there's so much adrenaline, but.
I would say not necessarily during BP, just because they're fresh and that's their time where they're actually working on stuff. So a lot of times they're, you know, like a lot of times they'll go into the cage or they'll take BP and they'll specifically be trying to change something, so they won't look the greatest. But as far as in-game, yeah, we're definitely communicating about how we can improve performance, you know, because during the game, a majority of the time during the game, I was with one of our other coaches in the weight room. We were, you know, working with other players that weren't in the game yet, you know, waiting to go into the game, bench players or pitchers that just came off the field or fielders just came off the field. So we're constantly communicating about how we can improve performance and what we can do the next day. Most of the time it was, what can we do with him the next day? What can we do down the road to make sure he gets this better, or make sure he, you know, is firing his glutes, or he's stronger in his upper body, or, you know, stuff like that. So, as you know, baseball is a very number oriented game. Analytics is huge. So even us, like, I did some stuff with data crunching as far as workouts, as far as types of measures, as far as heart rate, or, you know, just a lot of statistics that we run. So it's, there's a lot of, a bit of everything going on all at once, but it's, there's a lot of communication that, you know, gets it done. So.
Right on. That's awesome. I had one last question for you, before we wrap it up here. Who's the biggest unit on the team?
Well, I don't know if I don't know if I can answer that.
No, I'm not talking about that unit there, Doug. Get your brain out of the gutter. I mean, in general, who's the guy who's out there just pushing weights around like it's nothing? What, you know,
just the beast of the beasts.
The beast of beasts.
Definitely Eric Kratz, even though he's 38. That guy can. For an example, our dumbbells went to 105, so he grabbed 105, and he would act single arm with one arm dumbbell benched a 105. So that guy is 38. And he's an absolute animal. So, yeah, I would say him. But
dude, make him a linebacker. If you want to
feel free to send me a text, and I'll tell you a little story or something. So. Oh,
I can't wait.
Off air.
Can't wait. Off air. All right, Doug. That was awesome.
Actually, baseball, I mean, I know we made it to, you know, the NLCS.
Yeah, we know. We played 163 games with you guys. We've seen the whole team in and out. We're trying to get some insider information to pass along to Theo, so. Doug, it's been great having you on. We appreciate you. Hey, go Cubs.
Go Cubs. Yeah, thanks, go Doug.
Brewer. Oh, wait, Bucks and six.
Yeah, well, Bucks are 7-0. What, 6-0? 6-0? One of the two. So
I don't know.
Bucks,
I like the Greek freak, but either way.
Yeah.
Have a good one, Doug. All
right. Be easy.
Bye. Thanks, Doug.
This is the 21st century.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
This is the 21st century. We try to create content, and this is what happens.
5 tries later.
Hello?
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
Yay!
Trick or treat. All right.
Impromptu call.
Tell us your spookiest or best joke ever.
Oh, my gosh. Can I defer to Hannah?
Yes.
No.
She's got a lot of dad jokes.
Okay.
Your spookiest joke ever?
This is really bad radio.
Oh my gosh. Can you tell me yours for an example?
No.
You don't get candy if I tell you my joke.
Yeah.
Aww.
This is trick or treat.
Oh, knock knock.
Who's there?
Boo.
Boo.
Who?
You said boo-hoo.
Boo-hoo.
I said boo,
you
said
who. You don't have to cry about it.
Oh, got
him.
Can
I ask a question back?
Go ahead.
Okay, we've been watching Twilight lately. Have you guys watched Twilight before?
Hated it. I'll watch them all, though.
Yep.
So, Team Edward or Team Jacob?
Edward. Hold on, which one's the... Oh, no, I only had strong feelings towards the Hunger Games characters, so... I'm out.
Edward.
What, really?
Yeah.
Which one's Edward? Is Edward the vampire?
Yeah.
Yeah. Charlie's hot for vampires this time on the streets, so.
Oh.
All right.
That's fair.
Hey, why do gorillas have such big nostrils?
I don't know. Tell me why.
Because they have such big fingers. Happy Halloween.
Okay, happy Halloween. Bye.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
What's your... We need a Halloween joke.
Hey, your ass is pretty sweet. That's why I want to eat it.
That's good. I like that one a lot, Ryan.
That's a keeper.
That's a keeper.
That one.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. Bye. Hey, trick or treat from the Charlie and Me podcast.
Trick or treat, Abe.
Trick or treat.
Hey, we need a good trick or treat joke.
All right, I got you. Where does a jack o' lantern get fixed?
Where?
At a pumpkin patch.
Oh, got him, got him.
That's worthy of a treat.
I actually have a bunch of them here.
He's ready. All right, go.
One sec. I got my list out.
Let's go.
It's like we're 10 years old again.
What do you call a redheaded ninja?
What?
A ginger.
Oh,
I didn't say that because it's not offensive. What do you call a grizzly bear with no teeth?
What?
Gummy bear.
Oh.
What do you call a cow with no legs?
What?
Man, you know this one. Ground beef, man.
Oh. Hey, Abe. What do mothballs smell like? I don't know. How'd you get their tiny little legs apart?
Oh, this guy. He's got jokes.
Yeah, I got jokes.
How many jokes have you had this far?
Not enough, so talk to you later.
All right, sounds good. Bye.
Hey, what's up?
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat, Nick.
Trick or treat. Tell us your best joke.
Two guys walk into a bar, the third one ducks.
That was the most Notre Dame joke I've ever heard.
I'm surprised I could even think of one.
Oh, that was good. You're not handing out candy tonight?
No, tomorrow.
Oh, damn. All right.
Yes.
Wait, you guys do it today down there?
Okay, bye. Yeah. Matt, trick or treat.
Trick or treat.
Trick or treat. What we need to hear your best Halloween joke.
Treat.
Okay, treat. Give a Halloween joke.
A Halloween joke? Oh shit. I don't know any Halloween jokes.
Any jokes at all?
Don't put me on the spot here.
That's the point.
I had a really good song playing in my car, and you just fucking ruined that one.
Okay, I'll let you go.
I was just about to go in with Kanye, and then...
All right, bye, Matt.
Bye.
All right, that was our best Halloween jokes. I don't know. I loved every second of that. I could have done that for like the next 3 hours and just called everyone. I felt like I was prank calling. I felt like a teenager again.
Ooh, I called you. Yeah. I got you.
The best is no one answers the first time. So if we edited out all the people that didn't answer, it would have been so much worse. But anyway, that was our Halloween edition. I think we can do a little spookier. But I got a task for anyone listening. Anyone who got this far, first of all, thank you. I feel like half people just cut off halfway after Doug's interview. You got through the good part. But we need to know what Charlie should be for a Halloween party this weekend. Tweet us at Charlie and Me. I actually don't know our Twitter. So just tweet at us. If you found it through Twitter, I guess you can just tweet at us that way. What should Charlie be for Halloween? I'm going a slutty bunny.
Oh, God.
But let's wrap it up here. Charlie, what's your best Halloween joke?
Underscore Charlie, capital A and capital Me.
There you go.
That's our handle.
That's us.
Okay. My Halloween joke to leave you guys on is, why do ghosts make good cheerleaders?
Why?
Because they have lots of spirit.
Oh, love it.
Rah, rah, rah.
Why didn't the skeleton go to school?
To get the funny bone.
His heart wasn't in it.
Oh.
Oh, got him.
Deuces.
Deuces.
No.